Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to tell you, but I can't tell you. This is Wretched Radio. Two things, it's just eating me alive on the inside, but I can't share it with you. But please be on the alert. All I can say is we're going to be making an announcement here at Fortis Institute very, very soon. Guess what? We're adding a new fellow. And it's a big deal, and you know who that fellow is, and I think you're going to be thrilled to pieces, but I can't tell you who it is.
What? Well,
it's killing me on the inside. Is this what discretion is like? Is this what it means to keep a secret? It's hard.
I'm trying to think. Can I guess? Will you tell me if I guess?
No.
It's me.
No. All right, fine. It's Jimmy. Second, would like to share with you, but I can't till next week. We'll take the time then to talk about what you might be able to do in your Sunday school or your midweek that could bring a little zip to it. Why? Because last night we did something at Alpharetta Bible Church, and it's really, really cool. And I'll share it with you next week because every teacher wants the class to be engaged. Please contribute. What do you think? Hey, do you know the answer to that question? And so many times the poor person is up there just like a flag, just flapping in the wind. Have something that might change all of that, but I can't talk about it now. Instead, we're going to talk about VU. That's right. You didn't know I spoke Spanish, did you? We're going to talk about VU and what you send to idea@wretched.org or text to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is the text. You good?
Little exhausted.
You need one of them inhaler things.
Did you see the email of the fellow who basically requested that I don't breathe anymore?
I did see that one. That's not actually my fault, but
I don't know how to do that. Well, there's some time. Okay.
He said
we need some updating with our equipment here. I mean, the stuff that we have is good. It, you know, back in 1964. But right now it needs, so it's a channel thing. So when we do something with the thing and then the doohickey does that.
That's exactly right.
Then you can hear my breathing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for that. I'll do my best not to, which would actually probably please no small amount of people. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous, and he's asking about eschatology, but this is more an ecclesiology question, I think.
Oh, good.
He says, Todd, would it be wise or unwise for someone with a pre-trib eschatology to go to a church that believes in a pro-trib, a post-trib rapture?
It can work. Okay, it can work. Unless one of the parties insists that everybody needs to be on the same page, then it's not going to work. If you are the exception to the church rule, then you need to be willing to say, I will not propagate this. I will not try to persuade people. I'm not going to go against the grain of this church. I'm going to honor that and I'm going to zip, zip, zip it. If you can do that, then it is a possibility. Simultaneously, there are some churches who would say, no, you need to be in perfect alignment with all of our theology, including eschatology. Well, if that's the case, then unless you're willing to convert, then no. Then it's just simply not going to work. It can work. And even if, by the way, if let's just say that you're willing to zip it and the church is willing to accept you, you might find it difficult if it's a thing for the church. It's the pastor's bailiwick. This is, he just is on this all the time. And you might just get to the point where it's like, enough! Things aren't getting better. They're going to get worse. And then you stomp out. You don't want that to happen. So with all of those aforementioned considerations and caveats, yeah, you can. Just get that stuff worked out in advance. Always the smart thing to do. 877. Why are you doing that face?
I wasn't, not, no, I agree.
No,
with
you were doing a face.
I was
Trust me, I'm looking at it. You're doing a face.
I was going to say...
There it is.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say that what you said is absolutely right. I also think that it can be a problem if it's in the church's statement of faith and you're required to sign it to become a member.
I said that.
Did you say that?
I said that.
Okay.
Where'd you go?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention at that
moment.
Well,
that wouldn't be anything new. I've learned to live with that.
Okay.
It's okay. Love you anyway. 877-282-2337.
All right. Well, Todd, this is from Anonymous. I'm wondering if it's wrong to ask God for a sign, particularly with decisions I make in my life, small scale things. Sometimes I don't know whether I should do particular things. And sometimes I ask God to reveal what I should do or give me a sign. Is this wrong?
Oh, I've got such good news for you. There is a better way to make decisions. And every time you pull the trigger, you're going to be in God's will. Let me explain that. I don't think we still have that. That was an old resource that we had, 5 steps of decision making where you will be in God's will each and every time. And furthermore, even if you don't follow the steps and you make a decision that was a stinker, you're still in God's will because you're always in God's will. Nothing happens outside of his providential will. I think the Bible gives us a more sure way to know God's mind. We already have all of the information that we need in Scripture. That's where we start. Has God provided enough for me to know what I'm supposed to be doing? And the answer to that is a definitive yes. So we know that we've got everything we need and we don't need a sign. Here's the problem with supposed signs: interpretation. You sure that was the sign? You sure that was God giving you the signal? Could it have been Satan? Could it be that you are interpreting it wrongly? Are you listening correctly? And so it's fraught with all kinds of danger for you. So let me encourage you to find an awful lot of peace in making a decision by, first of all, starting out by praying, not for a sign, not for the answer. God, it just doesn't work that way. Now, that doesn't mean that God couldn't just boink, give you the answer in your brain. No, but he can do that. Is that the normative pattern that we're supposed to follow for decision making? Absolutely not. You'll go crazy. Besides, you've got thoughts all day, every day. How do you know that's God giving you that thought? So pray, but pray for wisdom. Lord, I want to be wise. And doesn't he signal out wisdom? You don't have it because you don't ask for it. So ask for wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. He wants you to be wise. So ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a humble heart. Ask him to help you receive outside biblical input into your situation. That's where you start. Then you go read your Bible for everything that the scriptures have to teach on that subject. Everything. You need to become biblically knowledgeable. Then, number 3, find people who are older believers with experience and ask them to speak into your life biblically. Do you hear the pattern here? Now, number 4, consider your preferences. What do you like? God allows that. There's room for that. Now, of course, sometimes he slams that door because it's sinful, but he does allow for preferences, this house or that house. You're going, I don't know, 2,200 square feet, 1,800 square feet. Which one do you prefer? Now you do the numbers and all of that. That's being a good steward, which would be a part, by the way, of your biblical study of house buying. I want to be a good steward. What does that look like? Furthermore, I want to consider my testimony. What does my address say to anybody who drives by who's a Christian or not? That all falls underneath the umbrella of studying the Bible on the subject. But then after you've received input from others, what's your preference on the situation? Then pull that trigger, make a decision. And you can rest saying, I did this in the most God-honoring way that I possibly could. And that means even if it turns out poorly, you can rest in that is God's will for your life. Let's say you skipped a step and you did it sinfully. Well, you can repent for that, but you're still in God's will. So follow the biblical pattern and you can rest and sleep at night knowing you are making godly decisions. You're back again. Were you breathing?
I was.
Well, rule around here.
I have some wonderful news. That resource is available on Fortis Plus.
Is it really?
Decisions are decisions.
Oh, do it. You know what? Maybe we need to pull that down.
Why?
Because it looks like it's my son teaching it. That thing is so old. It's just ancient. But it's helpful.
It is.
It's basically what I just said. So let me just save you some pain from looking at that grainy video. 877-282-2337.
This is from Josiah Todd. At what point does a hobby become an idol?
When you've got to do it, play it, conquer it, succeed. You give more time to it than you ought. You say, how much time is that? Ask your spouse. Ask your children. Are you able to pay your bills? You got to make sure that you've got balance in your life. And remember, balance, when it comes to the Christian walk, it can morph. It doesn't always look the same every single day or every single season. But something, whether it's a hobby, whether it's work, whether it's Netflix, whatever it is, you got to get family input. And furthermore, get input from others at church. This is why it's good for you to be in a local church plugged in, where you can say to people, hey, want to run something by you. My wife's not really happy that I'm spending 7 hours a day collecting seashells, because I assume that's your hobby. What do you think about it? Let them speak into your life. Let your wife say, yeah, honey, I think you do. And then you know what you do? You dial it back and you find the balance, which can look different every single season of your life. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead. Riddle me this. This is Wretched Radio. There's something called misophonia. Do you have it? When you hear a particular sound, it just shoots through you. It's like, stop that noise. Stop that noise. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're blessed. But if you crinkles, ice chewing, nail clipping.
Yeah, I know you love the nail clipping.
Certain sounds that just make you go, oh, please stop. I think I've got that. And I think it's getting worse because rappers right now, like if you open up a protein bar, one of us is going to have to leave. And here's the other one. Then I hold in my hand a bottle of, who's made the Great Value?
That's Walmart water.
Okay, got Walmart water in my, a bottle. I don't normally drink a bottle of water, but here it is in my hand. And this is very similar to the bottle, although this one's a little thicker than the ones that we get at Costco for Mrs. Friel. So we go for walks. That's kind of our thing. We get our steps in and she always brings a bottle of water and she makes the sound.
The entire time?
Every time. No, but she can't, she can't help it.
Yeah.
Every time you go to open the thing, it makes the noise. And it just, sweetheart, please with the bottle, could you stop? Or, you know, just holding it, just walking and we're walking along and all I hear is... And it's that loud and it is that jarring. Now, it's fascinating. There's somebody get on the AI machine and sort what this is because I know it's something. If you make that sound, I can stand here and make it all day. Doesn't bother me a bit.
Somebody else makes it.
And it's clearly it's not because I disdain the person. What is that phenomenon? It should be the noise, but suddenly it's my hand squeezing and making the noise. I'm okay with it. What is that? It's got to be ask the AI machine, Jimmy.
Okay.
You just have to sort out how to ask that question. In the meantime, your questions, 877-282-2337.
Joanne is wondering, should the church give a platform for Disney plays to be done on stage, the same stage from which God's word is taught?
I know how I want to answer this, but it's more multi-layered than just, oh, what are you putting a Disney play on for at your church? I'm not going to do that. I want to, but I'm not going to do that. Is the sanctuary sacred? Is there anything holy about that particular space? Now, some people, probably Presbyterian, and I don't mean that flippantly, would go about the business of making the case, yes, that area really is a sacred place. All right, in that case, nothing else should be going on there. But if you believe that the only things that are sacred, if you will, are the things that God identifies as being holy and set apart, and now some people would make the argument, and I would be hard pressed to argue against them. Well, we did. We said, hey, this space is dedicated to you. Well, if that's the case, then you shouldn't be breaking the dedication. But in general, I would say that space, can it be used for other things? Yes. Do I think it should be? And I'm going to say no, without making a law, because I think it communicates something. I think it says what we do in this space, it's just like that. It's no different. So we've got a dog grooming competition on the platform where we do the preaching. What does that speak? What does that say? So do I think that it's sinning to use the platform for other activities? I can't say that as much as everything in me says yes, because you can't make a law where there is no law. But I do believe it communicates. I do believe that it speaks. Now, as far as Disney goes, that's sending another signal, isn't it? You put on a Disney play, in my estimation, that is the church giving the imprimatur to Disney. And all things Disney. And these days, tragically, I don't think we should be doing that because Disney is all about the messaging. Oh, what was the show that we were watching? Oh, man. Okay, it was last weekend. It was date night. So we've waited long enough. If you've ever wondered really how cheap we are, well, then here you go, right here. So we watched, I think, the first two or three seasons of Downton Abbey. And then it just kind of seemed, I think, was it Matthew, the first husband, died? And it just kind of seemed to change, and we just lost interest. But it's like we had a place in our heart because that music is so captivating, isn't it? That's, at any rate, we wanted to see the movie. Supposedly, at least with this group of people, the last Downton Abbey movie, although I think there's plenty more to come with a new generation. Nevertheless, that's my speculation. We decided we were going to watch it, but we were going to wait until it was free. Because 1999 to watch a movie? I know it's cheaper than going to the theater, but that's how frugal we are. So it was like, oh, hey, we were going to watch the Downton Abbey movie. So we pulled the thing up. I think it was $3.99. And we went, okay, we'll splurge. It's date night. Wow, was it loaded with messaging. Wow. Somehow they got Noel Coward involved. You know Noel Coward. This was a man who has contributed mightily to expressive individualism. You got to let yourself go, man, and don't let society hold you down. And this the entire Downton Abbey episode, this movie that we watched, was all about accepting people that we didn't used to accept. It moved from, hey, we're moving out of the Victorian era in the way that our society is stratted, and the way that we have royalty and don't have working class. Is there upward mobility, communication? Do we want the telephone in the house? Those used to be the issues. This was, you've got to accept people who are LGBTQ. That's what it was about. And it was loud and thunderous to the point where I'm like, oh, I want my $3.99 back so bad. You talk about a movie with a message. Hey, Jimmy, what did we learn about the AI machine?
What did we learn about the noises?
Yes.
Okay, so it all sits under misophonia. But what you're talking about particularly, if you want to put a label on it, they would say sensory attenuation.
Okay.
Because when you make the sound, your brain basically predicts it because you know you're making that sound. And that's why it kind of turns, your brain kind of turns it down.
Yeah.
When someone else makes it, it's unpredictable.
But here's why I don't buy that.
Why?
Because, if you came into my studio right now, grabbed this and started doing that, I'm looking at you. Hey, Todd. I'm going to do the crinkle thing. Get ready. And I'm looking at you. You start doing it. I'm going to jump out of my skin.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not buying that. What? Attenuation?
Yeah. Sensory attenuation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not buying it.
Okay.
See that?
I'm going to send a strongly worded email to AI.
Okay. I'm going to try to put it through a biblical counseling filter. I think it's because it's me. I don't do annoying things. Even crinkles don't bother me because I'm doing it. I think that's my biblical counseling filter right there.
I'm glad that you
running my misophonia.
I'm glad you don't annoy you because I annoy me.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous.
Hold on to Anonymo for just a moment. I've got two emails I want to share with you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
What is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is radio. I got an email from James HarperCollins, book covers for Go Serve Your King, the book that I'm done with that will be coming out sometime. I've learned to not give dates. And he sent, that one's pretty right there. Oh, that one looks nice, right? Sorry, only I can see that. Here's the second email. These are subtitles. You tell me what you like, Jimmy. Which one speaks to you? Remember, the book title is called Go Serve Your King.
Okay.
Here's one. How to joyfully live for the glory of God.
Okay. Not bad.
It's okay.
It's all right.
The surprising joy of living for Christ. I like that one better.
Okay.
Well, I'd like more joy. Yeah. And the joy is found in serving Jesus. All right. You didn't like that one. Fine. I'll tell him. The surprising joy of surrendering to Christ. because that's what really the premise of the book is. You become indentured to Jesus and you experience more freedom and more joy. That's the counterintuitive just the way things work. You submit to Jesus more and more and more, and you experience more liberty and more shalom. All right, you don't like that one. You don't like any of these.
I didn't say that.
I am so telling. Training your heart to love the one who saved you. Training your heart to love the one who saved you.
Bit wordy.
You are just being so unhelpful right now.
I'm very critical.
All right. How Christ makes every moment meaningful.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Oh, you do?
I do like that one.
Well, then, my work here is through.
Thanks, James.
Till tomorrow, go serve your king.